It is dead.
Thank you, Carol. Well, God bless you all. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we're going to open tonight in 1 Timothy chapter 2. If you'd like to take your Bibles. About 2 months ago, we started on these Wednesday night online fellowships to look at varied aspects of the new birth, and tonight we'll be continuing that study. Tonight we're going to be looking at the ministry of reconciliation, which is part of the wonderful sonship package that God has given us. It can be thought of in the category of a sonship right, and really should be thought of in light of being a sonship privilege. And it's certainly something that God has made us able to carry out. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 is a very important declaration of God's will. And it's in verse 4, who, referring back to God our Savior, will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. This is God's will. This is God's great desire. God would have everybody to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead. Because God's will is for all men to be saved. Unfortunately, not all men will line up with this and believe it. And, many will reject it. And as a result, in the future events of Christ's second coming, they will cease to exist. But God's great desire is for everybody to be saved, but it doesn't stop there. It says, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. The ministry of reconciliation that God has given us involves both aspects of God's will, because certainly the reconciliation of man to God comes from being saved. That's the spiritual reconciliation. But when a person gets born again of God's Spirit, you know what's absolutely amazing about that is that some people don't even know that they are born again. It blows my mind, but that was me for an extended period of time as a youngster. I was saved at an earlier age and didn't know anything about it. And so I would oftentimes, particularly when I'd done some bad things, I would pray to God that I could go to heaven. And I wasn't sure because I just didn't know the word. But God's will is that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And that's why we're here tonight. That's why we're listening to teachings online. That's why we study our Bibles. That's why we want to continue to grow in the knowledge of what our Lord has accomplished. So the reconciliation of man to God is twofold. It starts with the new birth, but then it includes coming unto the knowledge of the truth. You know, this great will of God that all men be saved answers a very important question that perhaps many of us have had. Is why hasn't Jesus Christ come back yet? I think of that, Lord, come quickly, the Bible ends with. But just as a footnote here, we're going to continue this to look at the ministry of reconciliation. But look at 2 Peter chapter 3 real quick. A very clear declaration of why Christ has not come back yet. And if you read the context, it's concerning Christ's return, about the former heaven, the former earth, the second heaven, the second earth, what's coming in the third heaven, third earth. But in the midst of this discussion, it answers the question of why Christ hasn't come back yet. Verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, Also, by the way, verse 8 says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So the Lord has a little different perspective on time than we do. But the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, verse 9, as some men can count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, you know, it's been almost, it's been over 2,000 years, or about 2,000 years since Christ left this earth. And, you know, it, for the Lord, that's like 2 days. But God's will is that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. He doesn't want anybody to perish. That's his will. Now, some will perish. But look at Romans chapter 5. The reconciliation of man to God is twofold. That's the first part of it is the new birth, and that's a spiritual reconciliation. It's perfect. But then also, believers are to come unto a knowledge of the truth, and in doing that and in practicing the truth, we continue to be reconciled in practicality, in practice, in our walk with him. Romans chapter 5 speaks of the first part of this reconciliation. It says, verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We're not going to go through the wrath. We're going to be saved from the wrath through him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And the saved there is in context, saved from the wrath. But we are currently, we are now reconciled to God by the death of his son. And as you know, to be reconciled is to bring back together that which has been separated. Mankind prior to the new birth is so separated from God that here he's called an enemy of God. But when you get born again of God's spirit, you are brought back together by the work of his son. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Well, let's go, excuse me, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Now, having the ministry of reconciliation as a sonship right comes with the new birth. And you can see that from working and reading this section in Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors. And then the text reads, and some teachers. The word some is left out in King James. But the text reads, and some teachers. These have been called the five gift ministries, which they are five gifts that are given to men or and or women. And the reason they're given is stated in the next verse, for the perfecting of the saints. So when an apostle does the work of an apostle, it will be for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting means full equipping. You know, the full equipping of God's people. When a person pastors God's people, that will help fully equip them for the work of the ministry. It will help the saints be fully equipped. Now, it's very interesting in this verse 12, where it states, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For many years, I read this as that these five ministries, these five gifts, did all three of these things, and that they were the one, the sole ones that did all three. And you could read it that way from this translation. But there's a very interesting detail that many translations miss, and it's the translation or the understanding of the word for. Because the word for the perfecting of the saints is a different word than the word for the work of the ministry. And to really see this, if you're interested in really studying it, I re-looked at this today. In the Companion Bible, Appendix 104 is the appendix that E.W. Bullinger wrote concerning prepositions in the Greek New Testament. And it's a fantastic work. It's absolutely terrific. But if you look under Category 6, and it will be represented in there by the Roman numeral VI, but it's Category 6, it contrasts the Greek word eis, translated here for, and the Greek word pros, translated here for. It's on page 149 in the appendix section of the Companion Bible. And I would encourage you to take a look at that if you're interested in studying this more deeply. But what it says, basically, is that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are for the full equipping of the saints. And then the next section needs to be understood as so the saints can do the work of the ministry. And when the saints do the work of the ministry, it will result in the edifying of the body of Christ. Very significant to read that accurately. And what that tells you, quite simply, is that every born-again one has a ministry. It's not just those apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Yes, they are vital. They are very significant. But if you want to read an extensive list of the gifts that have been given to all of God's people, a representative list, read Romans chapter 12. And it's something that we've covered many times. If you're familiar with this teaching ministry, but it's talking about your function in the body of Christ. A person's function in the body of Christ can be to be an apostle, of course. And that's represented in that list. There's a brief representation of these five ministries in Romans chapter 12. What another thing that you can have a ministry in is a long suit in the manifestations. And that too is in that list in Romans chapter 12. But there's many other things that are referred to very clearly as being gifts, which is equated with being a function in the body of Christ. And every saint has a function. Every saint has work to do. It's the work of the ministry. The word ministry is the Greek word diakonia, and it simply means service. God would have all of his people to serve. Now, it's work. It's work to serve. And you can, again, in your study of the Bible, you can look at the various things that God encourages us to work. At the top of the list is that we should be working the Word of God as workmen of the Word, 2 Timothy 2:5, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Work the Word of God. Another major thing that is talked about through the New Testament is the work that we're to do in prayer. God's people have service to provide, and it requires working the Word of God. That's where apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers can be of great assistance. To help you be equipped with the Word of God, to be equipped in understanding how and when and why to pray. But then any other service that we're to do for the Lord, and they're highlighted very extensively in Romans chapter 12. So it's work to do. You know, it's really something, because God has always designed man to work. Going back to the garden, Adam and Eve were put in paradise. They were given work to do. You know, work is part of God's plan. It's part of God's fulfillment. And now he has the joy of working with his children so that we can help others, so that we can do the work of service, the work of the ministry. You know, God helps us along the way. He directs our steps. To see this, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But isn't that fantastic that every born-again one has the work of the ministry to do? And when we do the work of the ministry, the result will be the edifying, building up of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, just to make this clear, or did I say 1 Corinthians? It should be 2 Corinthians, excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We want to, before looking some at this epistle, we want to just get the address of the epistle. It says in verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. So who is Corinthians addressed to? It's addressed to the church of God, and, you know, specifically mentions Corinth, but some of the manuscripts leave the location as a blank, because it could be any of the church. It could be the church at Sacramento, or the church in Portugal, or the church in Hawaii. You know, it's the current church. This is a church epistle addressed to the church. It's addressed to all the saints. So this pertains to all of God's people that are born again, that are saved, that are reconciled unto God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, please. You know, this is a reproof epistle. It follows the very stern reproof that was given in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is very stern reproof given to a carnal church. But God had this epistle written to follow up on that reproof, and it really gives a lot of the heart of reproof. For example, in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, it starts with how God comforts us. And really, when reproof is received properly, when it's believed, it will result in comfort, because it's, you know, it's not comforting to be out of fellowship. It's not to be at odds with God, like was reproved very sternly in 1 Corinthians. But it's very comforting when you respond to the reproof. And throughout this epistle, there's a lot that is spoken of service, of ministering. And also another topic that's spoken of throughout this epistle is hope. You know, so it can be a very comforting epistle, reminding us of the service that we have to provide, the work that God gives us to do. And when we do the work that God gives us to do, we will be most blessed, most satisfied. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, look at what it says in verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. That's a good one, isn't it? Not to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. You know, God reliance. Knowing that the direction that we have for life comes from God. That our sufficiency in all things is of God. Our sufficiency in the physical realm, certainly our sufficiency in understanding comes from God. Our sufficiency is of God, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So God has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Now, what's it contingent upon? Well, we've already seen that this is addressed to people who have been saved. That's the first part of reconciliation. But also coming unto a knowledge of the truth. To be an able minister of the New Testament requires a knowledge of the New Testament. To be an able minister of the Spirit requires a knowledge of the Spirit of God and how the Spirit works. Some of that full equipping comes from the five doma ministries that are spoken of in Ephesians 4. Some of it comes from your own personal study, and God certainly is our great teacher. But we have become able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. In chapter 4, it continues. It says in verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. It's certainly possible for God's people to faint, you know, to lose hope, to lose sight of what God has called them to be. But seeing we have this ministry, we faint not. We shouldn't faint, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. See, this ministry that is spoken of in verse 1, this ministry that was spoken of in chapter 3, that God has made us to be able ministers of the New Testament, this ministry is a ministry of the gospel. And if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, that's the ministry that God has called us to. You know, Paul and the others with him, we're carrying this ministry to the Corinthians church to help them get out of their carnality so that they could be reconciled in practice unto God and return to serving God by carrying out the ministry that God gave them to do. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. It says in verse 7, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Any man be in Christ, and the words here, in Christ, refer to being saved, being reconciled to God by getting the gift of Holy Spirit. If any man be in Christ by the new birth, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things, context, all things new, are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. This is the ministry that's been given to every saint, like we read in Ephesians. Every born-again one has the ministry of reconciliation. Now, that reconciliation is twofold. Oftentimes, people think of the ministry of reconciliation just of winning the unsaved, and yes, it certainly includes that. Praise the Lord for it. If you have had the privilege in your lifetime to lead a person to Christ, be the one that shares the word of God and loves that person, helps them to accept Christ, what a privilege. It says in the Gospels that the soul of a man is worth more than all the wealth of the world. And it'll take eternity for us to understand and really see that. But man, oh man, what a privilege. But the ministry is also of helping believers gain a knowledge of the truth, like Paul and the others were doing here in relationship to the church at Corinth, helping them get out of their carnality, helping them understand the heart of reproof so that they could return to carrying out what God had called them to do, to the work of the ministry. God hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You know, the most precious thing in the whole universe is this wonderful word of God. It's the greatest of God's works that God magnified above all his name, the word of God that makes known Christ. And that word has been committed unto us. You know, you put verse 19 in relation to verse 18, and you have a wonderful thing that the ministry of reconciliation, referred to in verse 18, is carried out by the word of reconciliation in verse 19. In other words, for it to be a godly ministry, it's a ministry of the word. You know, there's many things that can be done of service to other people, but God would have us to carry the word of God forth, and the word of God, the basis of our service, to be what really helps people. And if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. You know, we are the ones here that represent Christ. There's no question that every born-again one is an ambassador. The question is, what kind of ambassador are you going to be? You know, how are you going to represent Christ? And, you know, the church at Corinth was doing it sort of badly, carnally. And, you know, this reproof epistle is to help them, you know, lift themselves up to the level of God's word and God's love. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. This is fantastic. Instead of Christ. In Christ's stead is instead of Christ. See, that's us carrying out the ministry of reconciliation today. We're doing it instead of Christ, in Christ's stead. He's not here. We are, and God has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. If our gospel's hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, why is Paul praying for the church at Corinth to be reconciled unto God? Well, we saw who this epistle is addressed to. It's addressed to the saints. It's addressed to the church of God. But the church of God at Corinth needed to be reconciled, not spiritually, because they were already born again of God's Spirit, but they need to be reconciled in their minds, in their walk, in their practice. They needed to get back to doing God's will. And that was their prayer. That was Paul's prayer. And you can see that Paul praying that was doing the work of the ministry. A big part of doing the work that God has called us to is our prayer life. So their prayer was, instead of Christ, they were praying in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye have not received the grace of God in vain. You know, it's possible that a born-again one can receive the grace of God in vain. Now, what does that refer to? It's in vain in this life. Is it in vain throughout eternity? Oh, no. When you receive the gift of Holy Spirit, you're saved. You're saved. You have eternal life. That's where we began this study of the new birth. You have eternal life, and if it's eternal, you can't lose it. But we have eternal life. But they received the grace of God in vain because they weren't walking on the word of God. They weren't workers together with God. And the way that we carry out the work of the ministry, referred to in Ephesians 4, is being a worker together with God. In verse 2 it says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You know, it's not to be put off to some future thing or when you only get to heaven. No, now is the time. And then it says in verse 3, "Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." So this is a call for the church at Corinth. This is a call to carnal Christians to get back on the ball and work with God. You know, that's God's will. God wants to work with his people. Look at Philippians chapter 2, familiar section of Scripture. Philippians chapter 2. God has given us work to do. But as he reminded us earlier in the manifestations, he's always with us. We're always in his presence. He never leaves us. He'll never, never, ever forsake us. And God's great desire is to work with us. It says in verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation," or your own deliverance, "with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." You know, there's work for us to do, but let's remember that God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, the question is whether we're going to do it, what God works in us. And that's why the next verse says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings," without complaining. Do all things that God works in you. You know, God is here. He is. Now is the time of salvation. We've been saved. Now is the day for God to work. And God does work in us. Our part of the bargain is to do what God works in us, to carry it out. To conclude, let's go to Mark chapter 16. Great truths concerning the ministry of reconciliation. It's really a twofold ministry, you know, helping the unsaved to be saved by sharing concerning Jesus Christ. But once you are saved, to stay reconciled and with God, and to work with God, and to stay in fellowship with God. You know, for the full equipping of the saints that, you know, some ministries provide, so that, you know, people understand who they are in Christ and what God has called us to do. You know, and that understanding coming from the Word of God, so that we, you know, can work the Word of God and understand what God would have us to do. Jesus Christ, right before his ascension, verse 15 says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You know, this is a commissioning. Preach the gospel to every creature. You know, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Every creature needs the word of God. Even, you know, the richest, the most intelligent, the most powerful people in the whole world, the most down and out, everybody needs the word of God. And we have the privilege of sharing it, because God has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And then it says in verse 16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." There's, when you preach the gospel, some people are going to believe it. "But he that believes not shall be damned," or shall be judged. You know, and that's in the events of Christ's second coming. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall," what? "Recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. That concluded his first coming. It says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere." Isn't that fantastic? Verse 15, it said, "Go." Verse 20 says, "They went." They did all things without murmurings and disputing. Verse 15 says, "Preach the gospel to every creature." And Verse 20 says, they preached everywhere. They did all things without murmurings and disputings. And the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. You know, the Lord promises that he works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. He promises that he will work with us when we go forth and preach his word. You know, we have a part to do, and God has, of course, the bigger part, being our sufficiency in all things. But, you know, there's a great truth in verse 20. God works with those people who want to work with him. It's unfortunate that many people have rejected God, and even people who have been saved sometimes forget God and ignore what God can provide. But God works with the people that want to work with him. And as we line our will with his will, and his will being that all men be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth, then we can go forth and have the full assurance that God will work with us and confirm the word that we share with signs following. So, Father, thank you for the wonderful ministry that you've committed to each born-again one. Father, the ministry that will carry the word forth and help others to accept Christ, and those that have accepted Christ to grow in grace and in a knowledge of our Lord. And Father, may we be faithful ministers and carry this word forth and teach others and practice it in our own life, in our prayer and in our working of the word. And Father, we're very, very thankful for this night to once again open the book in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. See you next week.